You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings. I'm green if you are. Okay, 1 Kings. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be here this morning and be in this meeting. We do not take it lightly. We began a series here on Sunday morning. I want to continue that series. Today, we've been looking at various and sundry people in the Bible that had a relationship with a tree. And we have been preaching on the subject of rightly related to a tree. We looked Sunday morning at Adam and Eve. They found themselves behind a tree. It was the tree of the fallen. And then on Sunday evening, we looked at Zacchaeus. He found himself up a tree. It was the tree of the favored. I was reluctant this morning. Of course, Brother Carden, I've known for 3 months what I was going to preach this morning. And I was sort of glad to know that you boys got in line with what God told me 3 months ago about this morning. So I want to go to 1 Kings 19 this morning, where Elijah found himself under a tree. It was the tree of the fainting. The tree of the fainting. Fainting is very rampant in religious circles today. Having gone to 50 churches a year for over 30 years, various and sundry times you'll ask the preacher, "Where's so-and-so?" "Hey, they just don't come no more." So feigning, giving up, losing heart, falling by the wayside, it's not anything new at the Baptist Church. But I have found out that it is an inside job long before it is obvious on the outside. People who fall by the wayside, they fell by the wayside long before they fell by the wayside. It comes from unresolved, unchecked depression, bitterness, discontentment. Here's a good one, hurt feelings. I tell you, they hurt my feelings. Sure enough. This is what the Bible says about it. Great peace have they that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. So if you got offended, it wasn't that they offended you. No, God pointed out that you didn't like the Bible. Great peace have they that love this book. Nothing will offend them. Unchecked discontentment, hurt feelings, if not immediately dealt with, can lead to fainting. Solomon said in Proverbs, he said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life." You having any of those kind of feelings, they're like a warning light on the front of the car. You better check it. Paul said, "Be not weary in well-doing. In due season, you reap if you faint not." You say, "Ah, preacher, that's a sign of weakness. I'm a strong-blooded American man. That weak stuff, fainting, never happened to me. Happened to Elijah. You ain't killed 450 prophets before, have you? You ain't called on fire down from heaven, have you? You ain't raised no dead people, have you? He did. But he fainted. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19, verse number 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. He done killed all the preachers. He killed them by himself. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also. I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came, sat down. Here he is. He done got under a tree, under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself, said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. I am not better than my fathers. Elijah's fainting. I notice in the text, we don't want to confuse you with the text, but I notice that fear gripping the heart, usually one of the instigators of fainting. I notice the seeing of fear. The Bible says in verse number 2 that she sent him a message. He's got a messenger come down there, and the messenger is reading the message, and Elijah didn't hear it. Was much bigger than that. Oh, no. While the messenger's reading it, the Bible says in verse 3, he saw it. She said, I'm going to make mincemeat out of you by tomorrow. I'm going to cut your body up in little pieces. While he's reading it, he sees fingers and toes and arms and backsides and knees. He sees them flying everywhere. And fear gripped his heart. And he runs and hides under a juniper tree. This is the man that has caused the rain to stop. This is a man who has caused rain to come. This is a man, he has seen God fly his food in on a raven. And he's now scared to death of one wicked woman. And fear has gripped his heart. Don't make light of other people's fears. Don't suck it up. Oh, no. Job said, the things I fear the most have come upon me. Fear of losing control is one of the greatest of all fears. One of our presidents in days gone by said the greatest fear is fear itself. It's the seeing of fear. I notice there's a spirit of fear. Fear is an awesome thing. I have had God use it as an instrument on me on numerous occasions. Of course, I'm a very fearful person to start with. That's why I take Beth with me. She ain't scared of nothing. And I'll often send her to check on things while I hold a gun. Leviticus 28, it says, and upon them that are left alive, I will send a fainting unto their hearts, and the sound of a shaking of leaves that will cause them to flee when nobody is pursuing. I have often had my shadow scare me, being a very fearful person, but some years ago, I guess God helped me more with my fear than I've ever been helped. I was in Missouri in a meeting. Preacher put me out in a 200-year-old farmhouse in the middle of a cow pasture where the driveway was 3 miles from the main road. I noticed my phone said no service. And I noticed there was no landlines in the house. And I noticed in that house that God had masterfully put everything in that house I was scared to death of. I don't like to stay places where there's more than one door. Makes me antsy. Matter of fact, when I remodeled my house, I bricked up one of the doors so I didn't have to keep an eye on it no more. And who in this devil world would build a house with all the windows on the floor level where all you got to do is open them and step in? All of the windows in this house were on the ground. All you had to do is open them and step in. I thought that God had masterfully put everything that I was scared of in that house until after the preacher had left and I had tried to impress upon him that I had my big boy britches on and wasn't scared of nothing. I went in the kitchen to get a drink of water, and I realized that the Lord had saved the best for last. I noticed beside the refrigerator there was not one mouse trap, there was not two mouse traps, there were 3 mouse traps. That is my greatest fear. I can't stand mice. I'm going to be there for a week. Pray tell, what am I going to do? And God reminded me of a little verse that I've often told grandchildren when they'd be scared at the house. I don't tell them, suck it up, buttercup. No, I know what they feel. What time I am afraid, I'll trust in thee. That little word trust is a very interesting word. The little Hebrew word means to get down low and look up high. Adrian Rogers, the great preacher of yesterday, I was looking at that little word trust. It is an old Hebrew word. It means put the face in the dirt. Get down as low as you can when you're scared. Get low, look up high. Old Adrian Rogers said he went to the football field late one night when he was 18 years old. Football field where he had scored so many touchdowns. Went out on the 50-yard line in the pitch black dark, raised his hands up in the air, and he says, oh, God, use me for your glory. Old Adrian said, I didn't feel nothing. He said, I thought I might run it by him again. He said, I got on my knees and tried it. He said, I still didn't feel nothing. He said, on the 50-yard line, he said, I dug me a hole out in the grass. And he said, I stretched out there, and he said, I put my face in the dirt. And he said, I cried it out again. And Adrian Rogers, he said, God so filled me with the Holy Ghost, he said, I never got over it even as an old man. Oh, it was in that house in Missouri that I learned how to trust in God and see fearfully. Old Spurgeon said, when some have no trouble, they have a factory in their mind that creates make-believe trouble. Spurgeon says, those kind of troubles or like homemade clothes. He says, they never do fit properly, and you ain't gonna wear them out. I read an article not long ago, 95% of everything you worry about will never happen. Wow. Paul said he's not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we can call him Abba, Papa, Daddy. My boys, my grandchildren have never called Baba, Papa, Daddy, that I didn't come a-running. Feel like you're fainting this morning? Discontent, you better check it. Well, how can I check it? Papa, Daddy. Here, Elijah found himself under a tree, tree of the fainting. Fear gripped his heart. I notice also in this text that fainting gaps the heart. Elijah's having a pity party. You ever had one of them? Nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms. Feeling sorry for himself, discouragement, discontentment, depression. Put a distance between you and God. I notice in this distance, there was a downward gap. The Bible says in verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah. He is coming from Jezreel down to Beersheba. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this or not. You probably have to have a doctor's degree in theology. That is a southern move. That is a downward move. Be careful when anything that you are thinking or feeling is making you feel down. You better check it. It's a dangerous feeling you have. He is moving downward. Very dangerous to get down. Hey, old Abraham went down one time to Egypt. And he got him Hagar and Ishmael, and we ain't got over it yet. Old Jonah went down to Tarshish. He caught him a whale Uber ride back to Nineveh. Naomi and her husband went down to Moab, and she buried her husband and her two sons. It's dangerous to get down. Old Joseph was sit down by God, and he hit the mother load while he's down there. Big difference in getting down yourself and God sending you down. Be careful this morning of getting down. The Bible says in verse number 4, but he himself went a day's journey. Ruh-roh, here's an interesting statement. Into the wilderness. God will never, ever, if you're the redeemed, you're following him, he will never, ever lead you into a wilderness. He'll always lead you through it. Hello? Are you listening to me? If you're in a wilderness this morning, it is because you went there. He always leads you through it. I love the hound out of that. We ought to stop right there and shout. You'd almost say God wrote the Bible. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Here, there's a downward gap. But I notice there is a depressing gap. The Bible says in verse number 4 that he went a day's journey to the wilderness and came and, well, here's a bad idea. I'm just so depressed and so down. I'm just going to sit down. I say, go go to church. That's the craziest thing you'll ever do. Sit down. Stop your forward progress. Sit down. You're not going any further. He's gone far enough. Sat down under a juniper tree. I was interested in the little word juniper. It means to be bound up with present circumstances. Wow. Down, depressed, discontent, pity party. He tells God, verse 4, I've had enough. He said, oh Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Elijah wants suicide by God. A lot of these old boys get in gunfights, they want suicide by cop. Elijah wanted suicide by God. You know good and well he's lying through his teeth. How come? He could have stayed up there in Jezreel and she would have already taken care of it for him. You know, it's a very dangerous thing to begin to think about taking your own life. Suicide. Certainly any of you that have ever come in contact with suicide, had suicide in your family, I do not want to pull that scab off. I'd certainly want to warn those that are here this morning. It's a very dangerous road to go down. Somebody asked Arthur Pink one day, could a person kill themselves and still go to heaven? I love what Pink said. He said, I don't know. The Bible don't say. You listen to me. But Pink said, I do know this. He says, it's a fearful thing to go out into eternity uninvited. You didn't get an appointment. You didn't get an invitation to come. Pink said, to stand before the tribunal judgment seat of God with the last sin on your hand, the sin of rebellion, telling God, I'm going to have it my way. Pink says, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say whether you can kill yourself, still go to heaven. He said, but I do know it would be a fearful thing for you to go out of here. And didn't nobody call you? You didn't have an appointment. Just show up over there with the last sin on your hands telling God, I'm going to do as I please. I do know that that is dangerous. Depression gaps the heart. Be careful this morning of a depressed mood, down. Check it quickly. I notice in Elijah's fainting this morning, not only did fear grip the heart, fainting gap the heart, but I noticed that feelings guile the heart. It is a scary thing this morning to turn to your feelings when you know the facts. I'll give you an example.
I just feel like God's a million miles away. I can't even get in touch with him, so far away.
That's a feeling. I have had feelings when I ate pizza late at night. I thought I was going to die for a morning. But I am still here. It was just a feeling. See, here's the fact. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you can go with your feelings, or you can look at the facts. Elijah went with his feelings. Very self-deceived. He says in chapter 19 and verse 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I'm the only one left standing. I'm the only preacher you got left that's really toeing a line and taking a stand. And he really didn't think God heard him, so he thought he'd run it by him again. He ran it by him again, verse 14. And he said, I'm very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altar, slain thy prophets with sword. And you are looking at the last thing you got. has a feeling of self-deception. Let me show you the fact of a sovereign declaration. God says to him in verse 18, he says, "Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And if this was on Twitter, the Holy Ghost would have said, hashtag, "And none of them are under a juniper tree wanting me to kill them." Whenever you're having feelings that are bringing you down, get to the facts. Get to the facts. Notice last of all this morning, it's feigning Elijah. Fear grips the heart. Feigning gaps the heart. Feelings guile the heart. But food grows the heart. In chapter 19 and verse 7, while Elijah's having his pity party, and of course, that's what we do most of the time when we're down, depressed, just go to sleep. Maybe we'll wake up, things will be better. Bible says in verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord," I am to understand, I don't know if you'd agree with me or not, you'd be wrong if you want to. It's my understanding this is Christophany. This is a personal, public, visible appearance of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord came again a second time." He's already come one time. Elijah rousted up. He saw there was a cake, verse 6, baking on the coals, cruse of water's head. Did eat and drink and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again a second time, touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." That water is a beautiful picture of the Word of God by the washing of the water of the Word of God. That baking cake is a beautiful picture of the crucified Christ. "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross and word I cling." Get down. Get to Him. Get to Him. I notice that food grows the heart when there is a great journey. He had already told him in verse number 4 that he had had enough. I thought it was interesting, the little phrase, "it is enough," is almost duplicated in verse 7 in the original, because the journey is too great. They're almost the same Hebrew phrase. It's almost like Elijah said, "Man, this journey's too much." And here Jesus comes and says, "Yeah, you're right. You ain't gonna make it. The journey's too hard. What can I do?" He said, "You better eat." He says, "You better get in this book." Are you listening to me? I notice some of you don't even bring a Bible with you to church. I never have been able to understand that. I don't let my Bible get too far from my presence. He tells him to arise and eat. Solomon said in Proverbs, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Rise. Get in the book. Get in the Word. But I notice last of all, there is a gracious justice. God appears to old Elijah. He says in verse number 12, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire." I find often when I'm down that I find God in the places where I did not think I would ever find Him. He says He appears to him in a still, small voice. He doesn't come like we preachers, loud. Whispering. Talking real light. He's talking real low. Now, what does he want to do that for? Elijah's going to have to get up close to him. See, you ain't got no problem hearing me. Even some of you here this morning today can hear me. But when he comes around, oh, you're going to have to get up close. You might have to do a cut job. Hear him. You'll be in places where you never thought he'd be. He said in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go and return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet. This down move has cost him something. It has cost him his position. You may say this morning, I bless God, I'm just going to leave church. Did you know that God has already got somebody to sit in your seat? Go ahead and leave. It may be a bigger group to sit where you sit. You listening to me? But there's a gracious justice. He did go anoint Elisha in his place. But God probably used him greater after that than he had ever used him. Because he checked his feelings and he ran to the facts. He will announce that beautiful announcement. Oh, I wished I could have been there for that. When he told Ahab and Jezebel that the dogs were going to lick their blood. Wouldn't you like to be the one to go to the White House this morning and tell Joe and Jill, go ahead and do whatever you want to. Trouble is ahead, and this is what's going to happen. Be wonderful. He got the privilege of calling fire down out of heaven. And he caught a chariot right out of here. And ain't never died yet. Hey, Elijah, how far is it from here to heaven? Ah, it's just a short chariot ride over there. If you get down, arise and eat. Meditate on the Word of God. I love to turn to the old hymns when I feel a down spirit. Here's a good place to run. Old Charles Wesley hymn. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the raging waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide me till the storms of life is past. Safe into the haven, guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee? Leave, ah, leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, are all in all I find, and all in all that I want. You know, sometimes I get back to the motel and I think to myself, man, I wished I'd have told them that. That'd have been so good. And I didn't want to forget to tell you something. Have you got down low today and looked up high Have you had anything spiritually to eat today? Preacher, it's yours.